to Big Billy Kender Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club. When we're not in the great outdoors, we're thinking about it. Come on into the camp house and make yourself at home.
The Dallas Safari Club meets monthly at chapters across the U.S. If you'd like to attend or start a chapter in your neighborhood, visit biggame.org.
Hey, I want to welcome you to this old camp house at Big Billy Kender Outdoors. Sure glad you're here with us today. Thank you. Hey, we're going to travel around the country today. We're going to head down Florida way, Okeechobee. And a guy that knows that lake like the back of his hand, Roland Martin, three-time Hall of Famer, the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, the Bass Fishing Hall of Fame, and the IGFA, International Game Fish Association Hall of Fame as well. Okeechobee has been under fire recently, a lot of negative publicity, and we're going to try to sort that all out, figure it out with a guy that knows, Roland Martin. Dale Rollins has his finger on the pulse of the Bob White and Blue Quail of West Texas every day of the year. So what kind of quail season are we going to see this year? It's opening day for quail hunters in Texas. What are things looking like? Not good. Not nearly what we thought we were going to have. Unless your name is Dale Rollins, and then you were ahead of the curve. We'll talk to Dr. Dale a little later on in the show, too. Hey, you bird dog guys, are you feeding your dog Purina Pro Plan Performance Formula? Boy, you ought to be. 30% protein, 20% fat, absolutely the best fuel you can give your hard-working bird dog. Pick it up at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores. Grab yourself a cup of coffee and make yourself at home in that chair over there. You're in camp with us today at Big Billy Kender Outdoors. I mentioned Okeechobee, but we're going to start the day on another historic big bass lake, and that's Lake Fork, Texas, where the Skeeter Bass Champs held their 14th annual Berkeley Big Bass event last weekend. More than 1,200 anglers from all over America fished this thing, and it was Richard Morgenthaler of Geneva, Illinois, that beat them all. For his efforts, he drags a brand new Skeeter ZX200 with a Yamaha 200 on the back of it, completely Lowrance rigged out, back to his home in Geneva, Illinois. The winning fish, 8.82. Come see me at bbkoradio.com. Take a look at Richard with his big bass that won that big boat on Lake Fork last weekend with the Bass Champs. It was the Camdenton, Missouri high school team of Reese Waters and Caden Kowal that brought a 5-bass limit to the scale last Saturday that weighed 11 pounds, 7 ounces, and that was enough. They won the 2019 Bass Pro Shops FLW High School Fishing Event, Lake of the Ozarks, presented by Costa. The top 5 teams from this event at Lake of the Ozarks advance to the 2020 High School Fishing National Championship. Also on Lake of the Ozarks last weekend, it was Drury University, Cole Breeden, and Cameron Smith, 18 pounds, 9 ounces. And that qualified them for the 2020 FLW College Fishing National Championship. Plus, the Panthers Bass Club picks up $2,650. It's time to turn the dogs loose and go pheasant hunting. Pheasant season opened in the pheasant mecca of planet Earth last weekend, South Dakota. Good reports coming from especially mid-state. Today, the opener, pheasant opener in Iowa. Last year, Iowa pheasant hunters bagged more roosters than they had in the last decade. Things have not been good for pheasants in Iowa, once a pheasant stronghold, for quite a while now. So how will the 2019 pheasant season measure up? Todd Bogenschultz is the upland wildlife research biologist for the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, and Todd says it's going to be about the same as last year, except in south central and southeast Iowa, bird numbers there down significantly because of late winter and a cold rain in the spring. But overall, Todd the biologist expects the 2019 pheasant season to be a good one. Several seasons opening up today in Oklahoma, including muzzleloader deer, private lands elk muzzleloader bear, sandhill crane, and ducks in Zone 1. Regular ducks open today in the High Plains Mallard Management Unit, Texas. The South Zone has to wait till November 2nd, November 9 in the North Zone of Texas. General Goose opens on November 2nd as well in all zones. And this weekend marks the beginning of the general big game hunting season in Montana, the general deer and elk season, October 26th through December 1st. Hunters, make sure you have your bear spray on you. Hunt in pairs or a group if you can. It's recommended. The bears are ranging out in Montana further than normal, and right now they're super active. It's the quail, partridge, and pheasant opener in Nebraska today. And if you'll sign up for the Nebraska Upland Slam, just for signing up, you'll be registered to win some pretty cool prizes. And should you achieve the slam, a sharp-tailed grouse, a greater prairie chicken, a ring-neck pheasant, and a bobwhite quail in Nebraska over the course of the season, you'll be in the running for the grand prize, a Browning Silver 12-gauge semi-auto. Sweet. There is a Purina Pro Plan formula specifically built for your dog, no matter the age or the lifestyle. And it's the best fuel you'll ever give your dog. I've fed it for years. Pick it up at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores. Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri, Kansas, too. Early voting in Texas started on Monday, so I was there. Monday morning, bright and early, voting for Proposition 5. I would urge you to do the same. Texas. It's a constitutional amendment that would dedicate 100% of the sporting goods sales tax in Texas to the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department and the Texas Historical Commission. It's important.
I'm professional angler Kevin Van Dam, and when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm sure thinking about it. With Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
This is Jim Shockey.
I'm Craig Boddington.
This is Jim Zumbo.
Join me, Mr. Whitetail, Larry Weissen, at the Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo. I look forward to shaking your hand there this January.
With a who's who lineup on stage to answer your questions, surrounded by more than 1,800 exhibits featuring outdoor apparel and gear, artwork, jewelers, custom guns and knives, the finest licensed guides and DSC-approved outfitters from around the globe, free seminars, and world-class banquets with celebrity guests and speakers, DSC's Convention and Expo, January 9th through the 12th, is a must-see for outdoors men and women. The whole family will love the incredible taxidermy displays, and the auctions are the biggest and best, built specifically for the outdoors enthusiast. The best part, your ticket cost, the auction bid, the money spent at DSC's Convention and Expo will be spent wisely on conservation matters at home and around the globe. Please come to DSC's Convention and Expo at the K. Bailey Hutchison Convention Center in Dallas, January 9th through the 12th. Learn more at biggame.org.
The Jacksboro Chamber of Commerce welcomes you to the 2019 Chili Fest and Outdoor Expo on the downtown square. Jacksboro and Jack County are famous for top-notch hunting, and we're celebrating that heritage with a chili cook-off, activities for the kids, vendors, and even a perfect pie contest. After your successful hunt on opening day, November 2nd, come on down to the Courthouse Square for free chili and all the fixings from 4 till 8 p.m. Deer season and opening day at Chili Fest in Jacksboro, Texas. That's a perfect day.
Since 2003, Bended Knee International has answered the call to take the good news of Jesus Christ and the hope of the gospel to the Navajo Nation and the people of Siberia. Many have never heard the simple but magnificent message that Christ is God, who loves us so much that he died for our sins, defeated death, and rose again. The simple message of salvation brings the gift of eternal life if we'll only believe it. I am Tom Watson, president of Bended Knee International. Learn more about Bended Knee at bendedknee.org.
Dove hunting in Argentina is well documented, but as my friends at JJ Caseria, Cordoba Doves will tell you, the duck hunting is unmatched anywhere in the world. Lane Balky is the U.S. representative for JJ Caseria.
The duck lodge is in Corrientes. We shoot 30 ducks in the morning and 10 per D's in the afternoon. We have 11 different species of ducks. We have a duck season from the 15th of April to the 31st of August.
You are assured before you ever leave American soil that you're going to feel welcome and at home when you hunt with your new friends at JJ Caseria.
Our lodge is beautiful. It's 4 years old. It has 10 double bedrooms, all with private baths, all heated and air conditioned. It's very comfortable. We don't put on air, so you'll feel as relaxed in the lodge as you do in your living room.
Hunt world-class doves and ducks in Argentina. Plan next year now by visiting CordobaDoves.com.
My name is Jose Grasso, the owner of JJ Caseria. Can see me in Argentina.
Thank you.
It is the dream of the animal rights fanatics to suppress your most natural connection to the earth, to sell you a life filled with urban fascinations, to ignore that death is life's unwavering partner, together creating a relationship between predator and prey that makes it possible for us all to survive. To the hunter, this world's most honest steward, these fantasies are the poisonous, perverted manipulations of social misfits who would take this planet hostage. They should startle you and awaken you to trust the hunter in your blood.
From the rough brush of South Texas to the thick bush of South Africa, it's Big Billy Kender Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
So much to see that it will take 2 full days. Plan your trip to Dallas now for the DSC Convention and Sporting Expo, January 9 through 12. BigGame.org.
Hey, test results are in from the first year of a multi-state study on West Nile virus in ruffed grouse in Minnesota, Michigan, and Wisconsin. These first-year results are showing that while the virus is present in the region, exposed grouse can survive. 273 samples from grouse that hunters harvested in Minnesota last year, 34 of those samples had antibodies consistent with West Nile virus exposure. This study, according to Charlotte Roy, the Grouse Project leader with the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, tells us that some of these birds that have been exposed to West Nile virus are surviving, both juvenile and adults, and they're not sick when harvested in the fall. What this study does not tell us about is birds that may have died from the disease over the summer. Interesting stuff. Thought you upland guys might want to hear about what's going on with West Nile in our beautiful ruffed grouse. More info at bbkoradio.com. Well, it is opening day of quail season in Texas. That's got a lot of guys running up and down the road with dog boxes in the back and pulling those trailers, turning them loose today. And it's no different from my buddy Ronnie Smith up in Oklahoma. Ronnie, welcome back to the show. One of our BBKO Radio pro staffers, pro dog trainer, first-class organization up in the rolling hills of northern Oklahoma, just south of the Kansas border. And Ronnie, you know, we run pretty hard all year. Maybe we don't get to talk as often as we'd like to throughout the year, but opening day of quail season in West Texas, man, we got to have a short chat.
Yes, sir. Hey, it is opening day, and I know that a lot of guys are anxious to put dogs on the ground and get rolling in Texas anyway, in West Texas, for those bobwhite quail and those blue quail. But if we've got a young dog that we've just finished up, just gotten trained up, there are probably some things that we want to watch for, don't we, when we've got that dog out on the ground, hadn't seen very many birds?
Yeah, Bill, there are some things. One, I'll start with, you know, if you had your young dog trained this summer and then he's gone back home and he is in the same environment that he was prior to training, he's going to go back to the same dog that he was before he went to training. So he's going to lose focus. He's going to lose his shape. So in some of his training can erode. So I would advise people to do as much obedience work as you can in the yard. You know, we don't have time. We don't have space. But everyone can designate, you know, 15 minutes an evening to doing just the basic commands. You know, all a dog really has to do is he has to stand still, he has to come to you, and he has to go with you. And if he can do those three things, then he can point and hold his birds, he can retrieve birds to you, and he can go with you in the field. So I would strongly advise people to work that in the yard, because that training will follow you to the field. You know, if the dog works for you and at home, then that will follow you to the field and you'll have more success.
You bet, yeah. And those are things that you can do right there at camp. If you're out there to stay for two or three days or a week or whatever, those are things you can brush up on with a check cord or whatever you want to do, I guess, right there before you head out in the morning.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, and a couple of other things that come to mind, Bill, is, you know, the grass burrs they can be bad this time of the year. They can be green and sharp and really bad. And if a dog gets his feet on his mind, then he loses focus. To analogize it, if you're walking around with a blister on your foot, every step that you take, you are thinking about it. But if you get into birds, you're not. You can't even feel your foot. And dogs are the same way. The older dogs that have had success and know why they're out there for sure and focused and intent on finding birds, they can push through that just as we can. But that first-year dog that's being in the controlled environment of a training scenario, he can lose focus and get his feet on his mind. So if you're in that type of environment, I would advise booting your dog. And I know there are guys that don't want to boot their dog, and I understand that, but this will be my 39th year to guide hunts in Texas, and I'm telling you, you are way better off to boot your dog.
Absolutely you are, and people say, it takes them a while to get used to that. It takes them until you say sick them, and then they forget
That's
all
right.
about it, and they're gone bird hunting because they want to go as bad as we do out to find that next covey of birds. Hey, if we've got that young dog on the ground and we're just not finding birds, because I've got a feeling it's going to be hit and miss for a lot of folks this fall. I'm hearing some really dismal reports in places and some decent reports in other places, and he's just not having success. The birds are just not there. Is that something we want to be mindful of, or do we just want to keep grinding on?
You know, I think everything that you do with your dog is in moderation. So if you are having a hard time finding birds this year, then what I typically see is those dogs that run, really, really kind of run-minded dogs, they go to running more. And if you're not careful, if you put them in that environment and get to that point where they just really start running, then they get a running mindset, and they're not going to find any birds because they're just running. And then the flip side of the coin is there are dogs that are very hunt-minded. And those dogs, when they're not finding birds, will go to trash and real bad. They'll go to mouse and on your or metal arcs or whatever it is they can, whatever scent it is that they can find. So if you get to that point where you're starting to see some consistent behavior like that, either a dog running out on you and you're really having to make a lot of handling corrections now, or a dog's trashing, you're better off to pull him out of that situation, because initially it's conditioned response, but in time it will become behavior.
Yep, there you go. Hey, before I let you go today, I wanted to congratulate you on your new place. You and Susanna have always had first-class, top-notch training facilities, and you've upgraded that some over the past year or so. You're in a new location now, and I haven't had a chance to see your place yet. Tell me about your place.
Yeah, Bill, we moved west of Big Cabin about 90 miles to Osage County, Oklahoma, and this is the tall grass prairie. It's rolling hills, and really speaks to me. A lot of this country is very similar to Montana, and we built a new facility, and we're really, really enjoying where we're at. It's where we want to raise our children, and we've been trying to find that bird dog destination for 15 years, and I believe that we found it.
Wow. I tell you what, I can't wait to see it, and folks can go online and learn more at ronniesmiths.com or bbkoradio.com and just click on the link to Ronnie there and learn more about it. And boy, if you're thinking about sending your dog to a Ronnie Smith seminar next summer, right now is not too early to be thinking about that either.
No, sir. We're taking reservations right now.
Very good. Ronnie, always a pleasure to talk to you. Have a great time today. It's opening day.
Thank you for having me, Bill.
That boy's got a pretty good pedigree in the dog training business. The most famous name out of that family is Delmer Smith. Ronnie's uncle, his cousin, Rick Smith, still actively training dogs. And of course, Ronnie and Susanna there in Oklahoma doing a tremendous, just a tremendous job. Purina Pro Plan, that's what you'll find at Ronnie's kennel. That's what he feeds not only his very own hardworking bird dogs, but client dogs as well. Every dog on the Smith Place gets the very best. Purina Pro Plan Performance Formula. 30% protein, 20% fat. Pick up a bag today at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores. Hey, I'm going to run grab a cup of coffee, but don't go far. My buddy Larry Wysoon, Mr. Whitetail, is standing by.
Hi, I'm Toxie Hayes.
I'm Cuz Strickland.
And when I'm not in the great outdoors,
I'm thinking about it.
In my mossy oak.
With Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Isn't it time to check that South Dakota pheasant hunt off of your bucket list? Isn't it about time to step back in time to a simpler era when the cackle of a mature rooster is followed by the smell of smoke from your barrel and maybe a chuckle or two from your buddies after that oh-so-close miss? Spring Creek Hunting and Fishing Resort just north of Pierce, South Dakota is that place in time where taking good care of our guests is the priority every day, year after year. At Spring Creek, South Dakota, we know that a warm and welcome lakeside cabin with private bath and big screen TV is just what you need after enjoying our 35,000 plus acres of pheasant country. When you come stay with us at Spring Creek Fishing and Hunting Resort, you can expect the best pheasant hunting that South Dakota has to offer, along with the best bed, the best steak, and the best time of your life. Talk to us about private charter jet service and come see us at Spring Creek SD.
This is Travis Mears with Defender Outdoors, Clay Sports Ranch, Fort Worth's premier shotgun range. Conveniently located on West Loop 820, we're minutes from anywhere in the West of Plex. Do you need to raise funds for a local charity, or would you like to get your customers and clients together? We specialize in hosting events that do just that. Sporting Clay is the new golf, and we want to be your event destination. Offering two 12-station Sporting Clay courses, the largest five-stand in Texas, and a spacious event pavilion, lean on us to get your group together. Shotgun shooting open to the public or with a membership. Find all the details at DefenderOutdoors.com.
The Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation salutes hunters for the role they play in providing critical funding for conservation. Funds generated by hunting licenses and fees, excise taxes on hunting gear, and donations to groups like RMEF generate funds that fuel land and wildlife conservation efforts from coast to coast. Celebrate how hunting is conservation at our annual fundraising banquet and auction. Be ensuring the future of elk, other wildlife, their habitat, and our hunting heritage.
Crappie anglers, tired of tying knots? Hey, Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here to tell you about the all-new Add-A-Hook by Bullet Weights. The Add-A-Hook is designed to put a hook on your line without using any knots or cutting your line. Hold the Add-A-Hook next to your fishing line, then wrap the line five times around each side. Pull your line into the clips, and bam, you're ready to go, and it will not slip. I can tie a double crappie rig in 30 seconds, when it takes up to 6 minutes to tie one with all the knots. Add-A-Hook is made of stainless steel, no rust, flexible, and tough. Mr. Crappie and Bullet Weights has made it better, faster, and easier for crappie fishermen to get back in the water catching more crappie than ever. Bullet Weights has a full line of Mr. Crappie double mana rigs for trolling and vertical fishing. The Mr. Crappie Troll Tech rigs are designed to troll in shallow waters and heavy cover, keeping two baits close together without hanging up. Also, don't forget Mr. Crappie Slow Troll and Double Drop Crappie Rigs. Pre-tied with number two hooks, double swivel weights, and 8-pound line. Tie one on today. Look us up at bulletweights.com.
When it's time to consider a taxidermist, look carefully at the choices. The skill level of the artist that you choose will be a visible reminder of your decision from now on. Let me recommend my taxidermist. Roy Holdridge at True Life Taxidermy in Granbury, Texas. Roy does work for people from across North America and beyond. They insist on True Life Taxidermy in Granbury because of the incredible ability that Roy and his team have in bringing your memory to life. Realistic detail, painstaking precision on your birds, fish, and wild game. With a 10,000-foot studio filled with award-winning artists and nearly three decades of full-time taxidermy work himself, Roy and True Life Granbury can customize your trophy in a unique and high-quality style. Please view his online portfolio at truelifetaxidermy.org. And I think you'll see why True Life Taxidermy in Granbury has been my taxidermist for the past 25 years. Wild game processing available also. truelifetaxidermy.org. There's a place I love to go in the pristine Texas Hill Country that features first-class lodging, outstanding cuisine, world-class wing shooting, the best free-range access deer hunting in the world, my favorite, by the way, plus native whitetails and turkey, and some of the most comfortable hosts that you've ever enjoyed. Don't forget to throw in the fly rod. You'll want to experience the crystal clear waters of Joshua Creek and the Guadalupe River. Rolling hills and Texas live oaks, friendly smiles, and spring-fed waters. Orvis and Beretta agree that Joshua Creek is one of the finest hunting and shooting ranches in existence, and I think you will too. You won't find a prettier place to get married. And our staff and facilities will make your corporate event, family reunion, or private party turnkey and the best you'll ever experience. Joshua Creek Ranch in the historic Texas Hill Country between San Antonio and Fredericksburg. Want to go? Of course you do. JoshuaCreek.com.
Screen that porch in just for you. Glad you enjoy it. You're in camp with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors and the Dallas Safari Club.
Three buses loaded with kids and parents roll down the highway just like thousands before them have done, all at the invite of the DSC to learn the legacy of the outdoors. Be a part of this at biggame.org.
Hey, I want to talk to that guy right there, Corey Mason, Executive Director of the Dallas Safari Club. Thank you so much for tuning in to Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. I hope you enjoy the show. Let us know where you listen. It's real easy to do from your handheld device, laptop, whatever. BBKORadio.com. BBKORadio.com. Or just give us a call, 1-877-820-2256. I have Corey Mason on the Big Billy Kinder Outdoors trot line right now, and I'm really feeling honored, Corey, to have this opportunity because you are a busy man. No moss grows on Corey Mason. You're a rolling stone.
I'm rarely in the same place. It's good to be with you, Billy.
Always good to have you back, and I want to talk about something fun today. We're always talking about really important conservation issues that are taking place around the globe that Dallas Safari Club has its paws in. But today we're going to talk about raising money for that conservation effort, and part of the way that that is accomplished at Dallas Safari Club is through the tremendous raffles every year at the Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo. And because of modern technology, everyone that can't attend can still bid or buy a raffle ticket online. And the raffle tickets are now online available for purchase for some pretty cool stuff. Let's highlight a few of the items that folks can buy a raffle ticket for. What catches your interest?
You know, there are really some tremendous items on here, and I would be really regretful if I didn't thank these tremendous donors that we have that donate these kinds of items to our convention as our primary fundraiser for the year. When you look at the raffles, these raffles are absolutely a great reflection of that. You know, when you look as locally here as Texas, we have some beautiful whitetail hunts here in Texas or just moved just a little bit to the west. Tremendous pronghorn hunts, as far north as moose hunts and bear hunts in British Columbia. You can go abroad and hunt ibex or, animals in Africa, as well as some beautiful optics and rifles. So there's a great, great smattering of all different kinds of products and opportunities and experiences here in our raffles this year.
Yeah, and you can peruse all of that online at biggame.org or at bbkoradio.com and just click on the link there. I had a buddy call me on Monday after Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo about 5 years ago, Corey, and he said, "You're not going to believe this." He said, "I bought one raffle ticket at the show, and that one raffle ticket won." And he went on about the whitetail hunt of a lifetime, one of those southern Illinois whitetail hunts where they grow them as big as elk up there. It was a 180 class or better whitetail in Illinois Indiana, and one ticket did the trick. So you might want to throw your hat in the ring. You never know.
It's so funny how many times we hear that same story. You know, someone that'll buy five tickets, put one in a few different ones because they can't decide where they want to put their money, and they'll spend $100 or something, and they'll stick it in there, and it's that one that they, you know, that tumbler rolled over, and their name was pulled out. And it is. I mean, these are experiences of a lifetime. These are These are as quality of items as you can buy on the show floor or anywhere. Again, from fine rifles to great experiences.
You bet, absolutely. And we'd certainly be missing the mark if we didn't explain to people where this raffle money goes with the Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo Heritage, which is now online.
Absolutely. So this money goes to fuel the mission of Dallas Safari Club. The convention is our primary and almost exclusively fundraiser from the year. The proceeds that come in from daily attendees, from auctions such as these, fuel our mission, and that mission of conservation, education, and advocacy to do work both here domestically as well as around the globe, protecting our hunting heritage and conservation of wildlife and their habitats.
Corey, I really appreciate the time. I'd love to talk with you longer, but I've got to go buy a couple of raffle tickets.
Sounds good, Billy. Appreciate it.
Dallas Safari Club Executive Director Corey Mason. And with whitetail season, the kickoff of the general season just 1 week away, 1 week from today, I always think of my buddy Mr. Whitetail, Larry Wysoon, because I'm typically in the blind an hour, hour and a half before sunrise. I know he is too. I know we're both giddy as school kids, and I'm texting him from the blind early in the morning to see how things are going. It's kind of our tradition now, and I'm looking forward to it again next weekend. Larry, welcome.
You got me laughing. You're exactly right. It's gotten to where I really, you know, if I don't get it from you, I'm worried about you. Where is Billy right now? Because I know he's out there. But you're right. I mean, I can remember as a child being so excited. You know, to me, it's more important than Christmas in a lot of ways. Because in my instance, when I was growing up, we lived on a relatively small place, but we had access to our neighbor's properties and my granddad's properties and that kind of thing that had joined us. And we had a little old camp that we would actually move into. It was only about a quarter mile behind the house. But we would move into about 2 or 3 days before the season opened. And we would be there for at least a week, and then we'd go back down there during Thanksgiving. But you're right. I would lay there in bed, unable to sleep. And I am so thankful that even these days, many years later, and many hunting opportunities and experiences later, I'm still that way.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It's just such a great feeling. And like you say, it doesn't matter if you're 8 or 80. The thrill of opening day that you've planned for and anticipated for so long, just maybe the buck of a lifetime will step out, or maybe you'll put that doe in the freezer today. You know, just the anticipation just to be in there.
You're right. And I'm going to hunt my own little property again. And one of my goals in life last year was to harvest a deer there on my property. It didn't happen. The only legal bucks I saw were before legal shooting time and after legal shooting time. But right now, I can hardly sleep, even though I'm going to be on a hunt right before that in the lower panhandle for this really nice big whitetail deer. I can't wait to get back to my place opening morning, crawling that little ground blind, and in this instance, it's going to be probably either one or both of my daughters with me, and sitting there and just, you know, looking for a buck that's got a 14-inch or 13-inch inside spread and 4 points on one side. And I was excited about that as some of the really big hunts that I've been on, and it's going to be open morning of Texas deer season.
Yeah, there you go. It's just, you just can't beat it. You're right. It's Christmas for us. I can remember some of my fondest memories are sitting in a tree on a 2x6 that was just laid across a couple of limbs, shivering like a puppy passing a peach seed, and half of that was from cold and half of that was from excitement, and I'm still that way today.
Well, I have to tell you, you must have been from the rich part of town, because what I sat on was probably about a 2-inch 2x4 or a 2-inch wide cedar limb that we packed up there and nailed, you know, in between maybe the crotch of a tree or something like that. But you're right. I can remember just like it was yesterday, and in anticipating of daylight coming there, and you know, then you'd hear a little scratching around in the leaves somewhere, and you go, oh my gosh, you know, if it's still dark, it is, if it's deer, is in our instance, an armadillo, and I mean, it just, your heart's up in your throat, and you look out across the area, and all those bushes that in that really gray darkness still, you look at them, and oh my God, that looks like a bear over there, you know, and you wait for it to move, you wait for it to move, but well, maybe that's a deer. And then finally it gets light enough, you know, and you can see the fact that it is just a bush. But then you hear it shot off in the distance and you go, oh my gosh, it really is. Deer season finally is here. And it's just that anticipation a lot of times as well, too, of it could be the buck of a lifetime. And to me, every one of them that I've ever taken is a buck of a lifetime. Same thing with the does. I'm so appreciative of the opportunities that we have here in Texas and throughout much of North America for the hunting and for the opening days that we have.
You bet. Absolutely. It's the whole experience. It's the cafes the way. It's the conversation in the pickup truck on the road, and it's the campfire in the evening, and big-eyed kids listening to the older folks tell those stories. Larry, I want to wish you and your daughters a tremendous opening day and a great whitetail season. I know we'll be talking off and on, and I'll for sure see you at the Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo right around the corner.
Yes, you will, and I'll be anticipating your text, and I'll try to respond immediately with one from me.
I'm Craig Boddington. When I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it at Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
I've relied completely on buffalo wool socks and gloves for about a decade now, and that's not about to change. When I first discovered Ron and Teresa Miskin's Buffalo Wool Company, it literally changed my hunting, fishing, and cold weather tolerance. Last year, after a South Dakota freeze that had hunters in our group dropping like flies before the hunt was over, I had no issues and was able to completely enjoy the hunt start to finish. When I shared my buffalo wool secret with them later, they were instantly convinced. Buffalo wool in harsh conditions had outperformed all of the other gloves and socks on that trip. They're even warmer than wool, and I feel the buffalo wool difference immediately after putting them on. All buffalo wool products are 100% money-back guaranteed, but you'll keep them. The Buffalo Wool Company is now selling bed covers that will keep you toasty, even on the coldest night. Check out the website and learn the secret of the buffalo. It's thebuffalowoolco.com. That's thebuffalowoolco.com. Fish the winter and hunt longer with buffalo wool.
On your way out west, make a stop at Teske's Outdoors just west of Weatherford on the south side of Interstate 20. I'm Randy Jackson, reminding you that you need it, we've got it at Teske's Outdoors with more than 12,000 square feet of blinds, gear, feeders, guns, camo, ammo, and you can get your hunting and fishing license at Teske's Outdoors. It's time for a new gun, and with over 1,000 new and used guns, it's impossible to not find what you need. We have Weatherby, Browning, Winchester, Benelli, Cooper, Christensen Arms, Colt, Kimber, Sig, and many more. You buy a case of shotgun shells, and we'll throw your name in the hat to win a Browning Satori. And don't miss out on the Stoger Condor over and under for only $350 with a $50 mail-in rebate. Sitka Camo and Mojo Decoy, $7.99 deer corn and a free Satori.
You gotta stop at Teske's Outdoors, just west of Weatherford, Texas, on the south side of I-20. And on your way to the ranch, call us at 817-599-3400. You know, as bird hunters and bird dog owners, we've seen our wild bird hunting opportunities dwindle in recent years. And if you, like me, don't want to kennel your bird dog in the spring just to let him hibernate till fall, then you should take a long look at the world's largest field trial organization, the National Shoot to Retrieve Association, or NASTRA. This was the very idea of NASTRA's founding fathers back in the 1960s. They wanted to extend time in the field with the dogs that they loved. And it must have been a pretty good idea, because over the years, many thousands of men, women, teens, and families have enjoyed participating in NASTRA field trials. All pointing breeds are welcome, and there's no need to be intimidated. NASTRA sponsors over 1,000 field trials across the U.S. and Canada each year. It's at these trials where your dog can earn his NASTRA championship, qualify for entry into your regional championship, and NASTRA's 5 national championships. Take a look at our website, nstra.org, and consider visiting a local trial. We look forward to meeting you. National outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby knows of what he writes.
I think I probably hunted in just about every western state. And I fly fished in a lot of those places.
He's fished the waters, walked the land, and harvested the game that makes him authentic.
That's where the basis of that comes from. I wanted to make this really authentic, and I wanted people to identify with it. Guys like you and I have a real hard time finding good stuff to read, because it's written by guys that just don't know what the heck they're writing about. And guys like you and I, we read 2 pages and say, hey, that's phony. This is not the way it is.
Ever since The Old Man and the Sea, fishing novels have been scarce on the horizon. That was until national outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby wrote his Blue Water classic, The Tournament. Chuck Winchler of Sporting Classics says you can read The Tournament in about the time it takes to catch a big marlin, and every moment will be just as fun, just as exciting. Jennifer Mayhall of Paradise This Week says, "The tournament reels you into the world of sport fishing and doesn't let you go. The Tournament by Ken Kirkaby. Get it on Amazon."
Come share our campfire and a good story or two. The Dallas Safari Club presents Big Billy Kender Outdoors.
From whitetail deer just down the highway to Marco Polo sheep in Tajikistan or peacock bass on the Amazon, every adventure you can dream of will be available at the DSC Convention and Expo January 9 through 12. BigGame.org.
Hey, if you enjoy Big Billy Kender Outdoors, and we sure hope you do, why don't you get the free download every week? It's at bbkoradio.com, or you can let folks like Spotify, Google Play Music, iTunes, Apple Music, Stitcher, Podbean, all the top podcast carriers, let them know that you want a free automatic download to your device every week, and they'll send it to you. Dr. Dale Rollins, Dr. Dale, at the Rolling Plains Quail Research Ranch out in Roby, Texas, is probably the most quail-minded guy that I've ever met. He's got these little birds on his mind 365 days a year and has spent a lifetime studying them. I've got him on that Big Billy Kender Outdoors Trot Line now. Opening day today in West Texas, Dr. Dale, and that means for a couple of old bird hunters like us, it's Christmas time all over again.
Yep, and finally, just in the last couple of days, Billy, we've had some cooler weather, so that sure helps mine and my bird dog's attitude with a little bit of cooler weather.
Yeah, we last longer. Our dogs last longer out there when that weather's cooler, and things just get right, like we've talked about before. Things get right when that temperature starts to drop a little. Hey, I want to talk to you a little bit about quail numbers, because early on in the year, in the spring, everything was looking so good. We had lots of cover. We had lots of moisture. Lots of birds were calling. Some guys were turning in some pretty good quail count. And then it seems like something happened over the summer, and bird numbers may not be exactly what we thought they were in the spring. Are you seeing that, too? Are you hearing that?
I'm probably leading the charge on that, Billy. Sometimes I think, gosh, I'm being too pessimistic. There's other guys that are trying to be optimistic, and but yes, I'm not real optimistic on the deal this year. Our counts at the Rolling Plains Quail Research Ranch are below average, and the irony of it is the country looks incredible. I've never seen our research ranch in better shape. I've never seen most of West Texas in better shape because of all that fall winter rainfall that we had, but the bird numbers don't seem to be there like we think they ought to be.
Yeah, no, it's not going to be what we had anticipated. And yeah, you're right. I drove through that panhandle country, which a year ago from Amarillo to Tucumcari, New Mexico, was just burnt to a crisp. And even that country is improved this year. Everything looks so much better. Grasshoppers everywhere. And everything we've ever learned points towards cover and lots of bugs. Boy, spring rain brings fall birds. It just didn't happen this year. And I know everybody wants you to explain it, but there's just not really you can't just put your finger on one thing, can you?
Well, for one thing, Billy, we did not have the number of breeder birds going into this winter. We hadn't really had any reproduction in the last two summers. We had a geriatric quail population, if you will. And so as a result of that, let me just say that I normally will ask people, when I'm at a meeting, I'll say, hold this cube of ice in your hand and observe it for a minute. And then after 30 seconds, I'll say, what's happening? They'll say, it's melting. I said, that's a quail population. We got to have new ice really every year, or certainly every other year. And we haven't had much new ice now in the last 3 years. So the birds, our bird numbers were down. At least at the research ranch, we had a pretty serious mortality event in mid-April. My birthday's on April 13th, and it was ironic, but we had a cold rain. It was like 1.4 inches, and temperature's 38 degrees. We had a mortality event following that. I don't know if everybody else did or not, but that knocked our numbers down even lower. And like I said, we just haven't had the capital, if you will, to realize much of a dividend this year.
You and I were visiting at the Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo not this past January, but a year ago. It'll be 2 years this coming January. And you were telling me then that you were trapping a lot of birds and testing a lot of birds that were two-year-old birds. That's an old quail. And
I think it was 14% of our trap sample last year was three-year-old birds. You know, and that's, like I said, that's a geriatric quail population.
Yeah, that's an older quail population, and that's exactly what you kind of could see this coming, hoping it wouldn't, but you could kind of, you were ahead of the curve on that. And I have shared that information with a lot of people that say, hey, the fire ants are eating them, you know, and you hear all these things that happen from year to year. How about South Texas? Are they in about the same shape as the Rolling Plains area and West Texas?
South Texas, now if you've got any coupons to clip down in South Texas, this would be a year to clip them. Now, they're not off the chart. Most of the reports that I'm hearing are on my mythical 1 to 10 scale, with 10 being something like 2016. They're mostly reporting 6s and 7s. Well, you know, that's probably equating to 15 to 20 coveys a day. And they've done that. Much of South Texas hadn't had over 7 inches of rain all year. At the research ranch, we've had almost 17. So, again, it just defies that traditional, if it rains, we'll have quail. If it don't, we won't kind of logic, which, again, makes an old quail guy like me scratch his head and say, what's going on here?
Yeah, it's kind of like we've been cheated this year a little bit. If you're a traditional West Texas hunter or Western Oklahoma panhandle hunter.
I understand. Again, I've got a little property up in southwestern Oklahoma. I was up there this last weekend. Two things made me sad. One is I only saw one quail in my various outings and so forth. The other one is the grass birds are terrible, worst I've ever seen. So if you've got sandy soils, it's going to be a heartbreaking year, I'm afraid, with those grass birds like they are.
You know, and that's just something that I've observed through the years is, boy, when we've got lots of grass burrs, we've got lots of birds, and that's flip-flopped again this year. That's not coming true. Hey, you're famous for quail in Texas and our Texas quails and the research that you've done through the decades on our Texas birds. Do you ever venture outside of Texas for a special bird hunt somewhere? And if you do, where would you go?
Well, I've gone to Nebraska 1 year. I went out to Arizona 5 years back in that 2008 to 2013 doldrums that we had in West Texas. I went out there and hunted Montezuma quail out there, and incredible. I mean, that's beautiful country, and Montezuma quail are truly a trophy quail. So I enjoyed those 5 years, and then when our birds came back to West Texas, well, I was content to stay here. And let me add, although the Bob White numbers are down, if I go another 75 miles west of San Angelo and begin to get into more of the blue quail range, blue quail numbers are looking decent to good. I'm going to say, again, anywhere from 5 to 7 or 8 on my hunter scale kind of thing. So, again, if you've got opportunities to hunt out there, especially south and southwest of the Midland-Odessa area, out in the oil patch, I'm getting some pretty strong reports. So I've got a lease out in Crane County, and they've had pretty good rains this summer. So I'm looking forward to getting out there and chasing some blue quail this year.
You bet. Just all you have to do is take your boots off, put your tennis shoes on, and you're in blue quail business there.
I had a little medical condition, Billy, I don't know if you know, but I had what they call Guillain-Barré syndrome back in July that knocked my legs out from under me. Those of you in the Metroplex will think of Travis Frederick, the center for the Cowboys. He had this year before last. And so I was out of the loop. I'm still taking physical therapy and so forth. So I've been telling people, we'll go blue quail hunting and we'll do it like pheasants. I'm going to block and you drive them to me. So we'll see how that works.
There you go. That'll work with those blues for sure. Dale, have a wonderful quail season and a speedy recovery. And always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you.
It's great to see you too, Billy. Talk to you later.
Dr. Dale Rollins at the Rolling Plains Quail Research Ranch. Quail hunters, we're a traveling bunch. You might want to check out Kansas. Their quail number's pretty good again this year. How about prairie chickens in South Dakota? Going to grab a cup of coffee, but bass fishing legend Roland Martin joins us on the show today. He's coming up right here at Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
You're in good conservation company with the Dallas Safari Club and Big Billy Kender Outdoors.
Our hunting and fishing heritage is much too precious not to protect and nurture. That's our job at DSC, and we take our work seriously. BigGame.org.
Thanks a lot for spending a little time with us today in the camp house at Big Billy Kender Outdoors. Means a lot to us. We sure do appreciate it. It would also help us a lot if you need a product or service and you use one of the folks that advertises with us, if you'd give them a call or drop by their shop, online or in person. They are the folks that keep us on the air each week and online. Roland Martin is in the International Game Fish Association Hall of Fame. He's also an inductee in the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, and he's in the Bass Fishing Hall of Fame. He's had an incredible career, and that career is still going strong. Check out his YouTube channel. 79 years old, fished a tournament in Canada the other day. He's a delight to talk to, and we're going to do just that coming up a little later in the show today at Big Billy Kender Outdoors. Plus a piece that I always run around opening weekend of quail season in Texas is one that my late friend Ray Sasser wrote for the Dallas Morning News some years back. It's simply titled, Bird Dogs. And those of you that have worn out the boot leather with your four-legged buddies chasing upland birds or waterfowl across the U.S., well, this is right up your alley. Hey, the coffee's hot and the camp house is warm. Make yourself at home. This corner of the camp house is brought to you by a great product called Calming Care from the trusted name Purina. Hey, field trialers, when you're sitting in the blind and they're out planting the field, you're waiting on your run, well, your dog knows what's going on, and more than likely he's bouncing up and down, bouncing off the walls, ready to go. Calming Care can gentle your dog in the blind while taking none of the hunt out of them. It very safely and gently works over time. Created for the overactive dog, the overjumper, the overbarker. It's called Calming Care, and your vet can tell you more about it. Hey, if you'll come see me at bbkoradio.com, you'll see my sister-in-law, Andy, brother-in-law, Doug. They keep their boat down around the Texas Gulf Coast and caught some fine fish the other day. Andy caught her first ever Jack Crevel. And Doug, how about him? Two redfish, 32 and 35 inches. Nice fish. Nice job. And they're on the bragging board at bbkoradio.com. How about this big wildlife bust coming out of Florida? The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission has charged two suspects for poaching thousands of Florida's native turtles from the wild and selling them illegally in Florida with final destinations in international markets. It's a big deal. The illegal commercialization of wildlife ranks fourth behind guns, drugs, and human smuggling. And in many instances, those things are connected due to monetary gain. The International Fund for Animal Welfare estimates illegal wildlife in the U.S. produces $19 billion in annual income. Depending upon the species, the poached turtles sold wholesale for up to $300 each and retailed for as much as $10,000 each in Asia. Snakeheads in Georgia, that's not good. For the first time ever, invasive northern snakehead fish have been confirmed in Georgia waters. In early October, an angler reported catching a fish in a pond located on private property in Gwinnett County. Snakeheads look very similar to the native bowfin, but have an extended anal fin and are blotchy brown in color. Angler reports are the first line of defense, so if you see one or catch one, don't release it and immediately report it to your regional Georgia DNR Wildlife Resources Division fisheries office. Arizona's a great place for bird hunters to travel to. I've done it myself, chasing those little Mearns quails down on the Mexican border. Jonathan Odell is the small game biologist for the Arizona Game and Fish Department. He says that spring call counts around the state were up 125% from the 10-year average, so gamble's numbers and harvest should be better than last year's numbers. The season opened a week ago, Friday, October 18th. There will be hot spots around the state, but Odell says that if you're going to hunt Arizona, prepare to put in the work to find them. The time-honored tradition of coon hunting with hounds still exists. Youth raccoon hunts, sponsored by the South Carolina Coon Hunters Association and participating regional clubs and chapters, got started earlier this month, and they'll continue throughout the fall and winter, culminating with the South Carolina Youth Raccoon Hunting Championship, hosted by the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. The championship hunt is scheduled for March 7, 2020, and it'll be held at the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources Webb Wildlife Center in Hampton County. The top two hunters in each age bracket, juniors 12 and under and seniors 13 through 17, and the sportsmanship award winners in each age group will qualify for the state championship hunt. No raccoons are killed during the competition, and guns are not allowed on the hunt. Each hunter is responsible for bringing a dog to the hunt, needs to be able, with minimal assistance from an adult, to acknowledge when his or her dog strikes and trees. Hey, for your hound, how about Fortiflora, America's number one canine probiotic? All of our dogs suffer from GI upset from time to time, and Fortiflora fixes that. Order it from Chewy.com.
Hey, everybody, it's Adrian with Harold's Outdoor Haven. We're located in Kingman, Kansas, and when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Billy, I really think you need this new shotgun.
This is Jim Shockey.
I'm Craig Boddington.
This is Jim Zumbo.
Join me, Mr. Whitetail, Larry Weissen, at the Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo. I look forward to shaking your hand there this January.
With a who's who lineup on stage to answer your questions, surrounded by more than 1,800 exhibits featuring outdoor apparel and gear, artwork, jewelers, custom guns and knives, the finest licensed guides and DSC-approved outfitters from around the globe, free seminars, and world-class banquets with celebrity guests and speakers, DSC's Convention and Expo, January 9th through the 12th, is a must-see for outdoors men and women. The whole family will love the incredible taxidermy displays, and the auctions are the biggest and best, built specifically for the outdoors enthusiast. The best part? Your ticket cost, the auction bid, the money spent at DSC's Convention and Expo will be spent wisely on conservation matters at home and around the globe. Please come to DSC's Convention and Expo at the K. Bailey Hutchison Convention Center in Dallas, January 9th through the 12th. Learn more at biggame.org.
The Moore family at Southwestern Parts and Service in Dallas has been specializing in fishing reel repair since 1970. Early on, fishermen nationwide recognized that Southwestern Parts and Service was dependable, honest, and very good at what they do. With the largest fishing reel parts inventory in the U.S. and even some inventory for obsolete and discontinued models. Yes, Grandpa's old reel sitting on the metal can go back to work again. Southwestern Parts is recognized by folks like Shimano, Abu Garcia, Daiwa, Penn, and Zebco Quantum as an authorized warranty center. And labor on fishing reels is $19.95 plus parts on most models, and that includes cleaning and lubrication. And with six full-time reel techs, Southwestern Parts and Service strives to get your equipment back into your hands quickly. Is your local reel shop having trouble finding parts for repair? We can help. Come see us at www.fishingreelrepair.com. That's fishingreelrepair.com. 214-630-8161. We do work for customers worldwide, and we can help you too.
The Dallas Ecological Foundation is now the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation, or OTF. Hi, I'm Scott McClure with the OTF, and I wanted to let you know that aside from the name change, we are the same organization, a 501c3, doing the same important work for the future of American youth in the hunting, fishing, and shooting sports. The Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation is the wheel that keeps outdoor adventures moving in our schools. Outdoor Adventures is in hundreds of schools across America, teaching kids in junior highs and high schools great things like archery, boating safety, camping, and hunting. It's a legitimate part of the school curriculum. Outdoor Adventures is a PE course for kids that just don't have an interest in school or athletics or team sports. They're not involved. The life lessons learned and the lives that light up when learning these outdoor skills are real, and the stories are fantastic. The Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation is opening new insights to youth through public schools. If you'd like to donate or see Outdoor Adventures in your local school, the first step is to visit our website, DallasEcologicalFoundation.org.
From the deck of your private cabin overlooking the confluence of the famous White and Norfolk Rivers at Norfolk Resort Trout Dock, you can see crystal clear running waters that hold one of the world's greatest populations of rainbow and brown trout. In fact, this is the home of world record trout. You might be distracted, though, by the beautiful rolling Ozark Mountains that hold you during your stay. Just up the road a few miles is incredible bass fishing for largemouth, smallmouth, and spots. You'll find the best guides in the business at Norfolk Resort, and your boat is just a short walk from your cabin. Your guide will find a gravel shoal perfect for preparing a hot shore lunch with fresh caught trout and all the trimmings. You'll think about a nap after lunch, but there's more fish to catch and river to explore before retiring to your fully furnished riverside hideaway. Sound good? Of course it does. Norfolk Resort Trout Dock in Norfolk, Arkansas. NorfolkResort.com.
The old camp house floor creaks a little, but don't worry. You're on solid ground for the Dallas Safari Club and Big Billy Kender Outdoors.
Remember the thrill of opening morning in the deer blind? At the DSC, we work very hard to ensure that your great-grandkids will too. BigGame.org.
I hunt in Jack County, Texas every year. Have all of my life hunted Jack County. I love it. The hunting is great. The fishing's pretty darn good up there. And the people are the nicest you'll find everywhere, and boy, can they cook. Opening weekend of deer season is a big deal in Jack County because folks come from all over America to hunt Jack County, Texas. So the chamber likes to put on the dog a little bit, and this year will be no exception. Right there on the historic downtown square on opening day of deer season next Saturday, November 2nd, it's their Outdoor Expo and Chili Fest. This thing is a lot of fun in the cool of the evening after that successful opening day hunt. Come in and try all the chili. Shop the vendors, hang out on the square, brag a little bit about your hunt. Hope to see you there. I'll be there next Saturday evening, Jack County, Texas, for the Chamber Chili Fest and Outdoor Expo. I want to get our special guest in here this week in this camp house at Big Billy Kender Outdoors. He's down around Lake Okeechobee, Florida, and he is a fishing legend. We're honored to have you on that Big Billy Kender Outdoors trot line today. Roland Martin, I'm really excited about this. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Billy. I appreciate it. I enjoy talking about my favorite sport.
Absolutely. And although, you know, everyone, when they think of bass fishing, they think of Roland Martin. But, hey, you're a big turkey hunter, too. You love to hunt turkeys and get out in the woods.
I'm a decent turkey hunter. I've been a life member of this, you know, Wild Turkey Federation for, 30 years, I guess, almost since the inception of it. And I've done a lot of work with their, you know, national conventions and stuff like that. So, yeah, and then I make my own turkey calls, and I've done the Grand Slam a whole bunch of times, and with pistols and bow and arrows and every kind of thing. I've had a lot of turkeys, a lot of times.
Do you enjoy hunting turkeys in the fall? A lot of guys love to chase them in the spring, and then in the fall they kind of leave them alone.
I kind of leave them alone. I've killed a few in the fall, and we used to run around on Truman Reservoir and on some of the other Ozark lakes, and with the water would be low, and so you'd see them chasing grasshoppers in the grown up weeds. You see them jumping up in the air, you know, after grasshoppers, and we'd go running in there with a boat. And we'd flush them, you know, and then we'd set up in the woods, you know, where it's centrally located to the flock, and then we'd call them in. And, yeah, we'd kiki them in and stuff. And I've done that some, but I don't enjoy that near as much as because you usually aren't – you might get a jake, or you hardly ever get a big gobbler, you know.
Yeah. Well, there's just not much in this world that matches, you know, throwing that yelp out there and that thundering – gobble right around the corner from you. It'll get your heart going.
I was up on the Canadian border this last week with my son Scott. We were catching big smallmouth in this Pan Am tournament, and this guy Will Clute, he's running for the chief for this Indian tribe up there on the Mohawk Reservation. He's a real nice guy. He's a fishing guide, and he says, "Look, you come up here and hunt with me this next spring in New York." He says, "You don't even need a license." I don't know. I'll have to check on that. But he says, "You just come on the reservation. You know, we have make our own rules and laws and stuff." I said, "When's the season? When's the turkey season?" He says, "Well, for the rest of the state of New York, it's the month of May." He says, well, here on the reservation, we can hunt them whenever we want.
Hey, that fits the schedule.
I don't know. But anyway, he's talking about catching 100 smallmouth and then, well, getting up in the morning and shooting a turkey in about 20 minutes and then catching 100 smallmouth. So that's kind of appealing, you know.
Hey, that's a pretty good day. That's a pretty good day. If there is a fishing hall of fame anywhere, you're not going to have to look very far before you find Roland Martin's name. The IGFA Hall of Fame, the Pro Bass Fishing Hall of Fame, the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. How did a kid from Maryland end up in Florida with the fishing career that you've had and the life that you have?
You know, that's a really good question, Billy. I've always pondered that. I got started when I was in Maryland on this trophy bass kind of deal, and Sports Afield had a awards program where you get a button for achievement, you know, a bass button for anything over 6 pounds, for example. And so I'd collect those little buttons, and I was like 18 years old, 17 years old, and I thought that was really cool. But one of the neat things that happened was when I was about that same age, I caught a big monster smallmouth, and I won this local little bass, it was a little tackle shop. They had a trolling motor for first prize for the big bass of the year, and I won that. And then I went out another year and caught a big largemouth. It was a 7-something largemouth, and I won it a second time. And so, and anyway, here I am 17 or 18 years old and just starting college, that kind of thing. And everybody's saying, oh, this young Martin, he's on fire. He's winning all the awards and stuff, you know. So that kind of got me started a little bit on the tournament format, you know, just because there was something in winning a tournament. So Ray Scott started calling, you know, back in the 60s, and I was guiding on Santee. I'd just gotten out of the military. And he kept talking about, come and fish the tournaments. And I said, how big are your fish? Because I was specializing in big fish. That was my whole deal all through the 50s and 60s when I was growing up, was catching a big one. And I said, DeRay, well, are you concentrating on big, giant bass? And he said, no, we just catch them any size, you know, and you win the tournament. So for a long time, I didn't want to do it, you know. Finally, in 1970, he talked me into it. He said, come to Toledo Bend. And I got there early because I'd been guiding at Santee, and I was all set up with all sorts of techniques that I'd been using, and I was really, and I almost won the tournament. I came in second, and that kind of lit a fire under me to say, you know, hey, there's money involved with this stuff. I didn't catch any real big fish in that tournament, but I caught a whole big giant limit every day, you know, a whole lot of fish. And then so the second tournament, I had some time free, and they didn't have a cutoff rule, and it was at Eufaula. No, it was at Seminole. I'm sorry, Lake Seminole in Georgia, on the Georgia-Florida line. And so I practiced and practiced and practiced for a whole couple of weeks. I went there and I won. I won the tournament because I jumped my little boat over a beaver dam and all kind of crazy stuff, and I got back to where they were spawning, and I just caught all kind of fish. And I really had been doing a lot of that at Santee. So I was like a light year ahead because of all the guide work I'd been doing at Santee. I was way, way, way ahead of the average fisherman. And I was doing things like with spawning fish that nobody else was doing. And I was doing things with jigging spoons and stuff on fish that nobody did. You know, I just did a lot of stuff. And I was really – the only real fishermen on the circuit then were guys like Bill Nance and Bobby Murray. And there were a half a dozen of us that really did well, you know, those first few years. And then I really started shining. Nance kind of retired. My tournament success was such that I used it as a springboard of opportunity. In other words, as I'd win a tournament, and I won quite a few of them, that's when I started my TV, and I said, I'd go to the tackle show or something, and I'd say, look, I just won a big tournament. I know a little bit about what I'm talking about. I got some credibility. And that's what it did. You know, winning tournaments just shows that you have credibility, you know, something about fishing, you know.
Right, yeah. And so, well, you mentioned Bobby Murray. I just saw Bobby a couple of weeks ago. I'm sure you see him from time to time. And, boy, he's doing well, looking good.
I know. He's another good one. He retired a little early. I think he could have stayed and fished a little bit longer. But both he and his brother Billy are just fine fishermen. I just love them to death. They're great.
Yeah.
But anyway, I started in the 70s, you know, and I grew up with that whole, as BASS was growing. I grew with it. And I just thought the world of Ray Scott. I thought everything that he did just was the catch me out. So I followed his advice. and I followed his footsteps and, you know, through the industry. And, you know, he opened a lot of doors. I mean, Ray Scott was really, really, really instrumental in my career. You know,
yeah. When people said, "No, this will never work," he just kicked the door down and kept moving. He wouldn't take no for an answer.
He was something. And I understand now, and it's a shame he's got a little bit of dementia. And I called him about a few months ago, and he knew who I was, but it was kind of a distant conversation. You know, he just doesn't have the facility now, the mental acuity that he used to have, and it's kind of a shame. But he's such a brilliant guy, you know.
Hi, this is Bobby Labonte, and when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
At Marksman Firearms, we're as fired up about hunting season as you are. We've got everything you need, from guns and ammo to accessories and specialized gear. Visit any of our Marksman stores, Granbury, Mansfield, Killeen, or Wichita Falls. And for more info, go to MarksmanFirearms.com. Make your mark at Marksman. If you need guns, ammo, accessories, or quality gunsmithing, the only place to go is Marksman Firearms. As I travel the nation on great hunting and fishing adventures, I find true treasures along the trail. Places that are a must stop every time we pass through. One of those places is the Buffalo Gold Herdware Store in Goodnight, Texas. This is the only place on earth that features all things buffalo. Historical artwork featuring the West and, of course, the bison. Jewelry collections from Santa Fe's Turquoise Moon, Native Bay, and many more. Handmade Damascus steel knives, including the newly designed steak knife collection. On my most recent stop at Buffalo Gold in the Texas Panhandle, I bought an extremely comfortable pair of buffalo hide boots and another pair of buffalo wool socks. The socks, hats, gloves, and beanies are the softest and warmest that I've ever owned, and trust me, I've been through them all. Usable and unique, the Buffalo Gold Herdware Store is on Highway 287, just 40 miles southeast of Amarillo. A short drive and worth the trip from Oklahoma, New Mexico, and Colorado. And for folks further away, shop them online at buffalogold.net.
At Cornerstone Bible Church in Roanoke, Texas, we embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are affiliated with no denomination but champion God's Word only. We have a very active children's ministry, and we are a safe and secure place to hear God's Word and learn about His great love for us, even though we are all great sinners. I'm John Watson, and I want to invite you and your family to church on Litzy Road in Roanoke, Texas, and on the web at csbiblechurch.org.
Do you love to feel the thump? Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here, presenting the all-new Wally Marshall Pro Series and Speed Shooter Rods by Lewes. For more than two decades, I've been designing the best crappie rods on the planet. The Wally Marshall Pro Series crappie rods are built with IM-8 blanks, cork handles, stainless steel guides, fast tip, and plenty of backbone. Great for vertical jigging, casting, and trolling for crappie. New for 2020, Wally Marshall Pro Series Rear Seat Crappie Rods by Lewes comes in 10-foot and 11-foot, designed for the crappie fanatics that love to feel the thump in heavy cover. Hey, my favorite technique is shooting docks. Wally Marshall Speed Shooters are designed with an IM-8 blank, AVA foam handles, and airwave guides for the perfect shot every time. Speed Shooters come in 5'6" for tight docks, up to 7 foot to get the longest shot. Man, do I love the 7-footer. Hey, be sure to check out all my crappie rods and reels at Lewes.com or MrCrappie.com.
The Vineyards Campground and Cabins has time and again been recognized nationally as a safe, clean, fun, and, well, perfect family destination. With all new full hookup 50-amp pedestals, pull-through sites, lightning-fast Wi-Fi and cable TV at every site, the Vineyards Campground in Grapevine, Texas will become a regular travel stop for you. Bring the whole family and enjoy our beautiful group pavilion, private swim beach and boat ramp, stand-up paddle boards, well-stocked camp store, and the friendliest staff that you'll find as you travel in your RV or bus. We're located on the shore of beautiful Grapevine Lake, and you'd never guess that we're right in the middle of Dallas-Fort Worth. Just outside the gated entry at the Vineyards, enjoy the charm of Main Street with exclusive shopping and delicious dining. Don't have an RV? No worries! Come stay at the Vineyards fully furnished cabins. We can't wait to see you, so make your reservation now at vineyardscampground.com. See you soon.
For the land of the free and the home of the brave. From high school gyms to towering stadiums, every time I see our flag wave, I feel a humbling reminder of the brave who keep and have kept us free. I stand to honor the sacrifices of the generations before me. Heroes who charged in the battle through bombs and bullets, who lost their brothers and still pushed through, fighting for every inch of our freedom. I stand for my brothers who can't stand anymore. Men who hunted terrorists to the ends of the earth, who sacrificed their bodies and their lives so that we could peacefully live ours. I stand for the children, the spouses, and parents whose family made the ultimate sacrifice for us. We are all standing. We're the National Rifle Association of America, and we are freedom's safest place.
Camped on the ground and in five-star lodges, but never found a more welcome camp than this one. The Dallas Safari Club presents Big Billy Kender Outdoors.
Heritage is the name of the 2020 DSC Convention and Expo with endless aisles of outdoor gear and opportunities. Come join the family fun January 9 through 12. BigGame.org.
Thanks for listening to Big Billy Kender Outdoors. We'd love to hear from you wherever you are. Let us know where you are. You can reach us through the website really easily, bbkoradio.com. My late friend Ray Sasser loved bird dogs, loved to go bird hunting, and wrote a great piece about our four-legged friends for the Dallas Morning News years ago. I like to repeat it as the bird seasons open up and unfold.
The best proof for the creation theory of intelligent design lies in this irrefutable chain of facts. There is a bobwhite quail, there is a dog that points quail, and there is a 20-gauge shotgun. It's too perfect to be random. That's a quote from Bubba Wood, longtime bird hunter and a very close friend of mine. Bubba's right. It's so perfect, in fact, that most serious quail hunters would rather go afield without a shotgun than without a dog. Some veteran bird hunters pay exorbitant hunting lease prices in order to exercise their dogs. Oh, they may shoot a bird now and then, but they mostly shoot because the dog expects it. They're like a ballet dancer who no longer pirouettes but lavishly supports the arts, giving young dancers a stage to pursue their passion. At the Westminster Dog Show, there's a sporting breed category that includes pointing dogs. Though the dog show pointers and setters are so poofed up, they bear little resemblance to their hard-hunting brethren. Put a Westminster pointer in a West Texas quail field, and it would look as out of place as Paris Hilton working as a sonic car hop in Paris, Texas. One weekend during hunting season, I walked down the center aisle of a kennel loaded with real pointing dogs. The birds raised a deafening din as they lunged around their wire enclosures with such enthusiasm that centrifugal force might have held them in place had they known to run straight up the side and across the enclosed top. They weren't clamoring to be fed. They were aching with every fiber of their being to be taken hunting. Everything about their body language delivered the same message. Put me in, coach. Pick me. Pick me. I can find those birds. Bird dogs will endure indignities and hardships to make the A-team. Turn them upside down on a booting table, and they'll quiver impatiently as you tape rubber boots to their feet to protect them from grass burrs. Strap a beeper collar around their necks so you can locate them in dense cover, and they'll ignore the intrusive electronic beep, a sound as annoying as the backing up klaxon sound emitted by heavy equipment. I've seen bird dogs perforated by porcupine quills, bleeding from thorns, swollen from snake bites, hobbled by grass burrs, ripped open by barbed wire fences, shot by careless hunters, gassed by skunks, mauled by feral hogs, and exhausted from running the equivalent of a marathon 3 days in a row. All they asked in return was a dry, relatively warm place to sleep, a meager ration of dog food, and enough clean water to slake their thirst. The very next day, they were anxious to do it all over again. I've been privileged to follow behind many good pointing dogs. T. Boone Pickens once had a pointer named Ethel. He spelled it E-T-H-E-L, but her name should have been spelled E-T-H-Y-L, as in high octane. Ethel had the advantage of finding birds on one of the greatest quail ranches in existence, but so did her kennel mates. Ethel found more quail than the other dogs, and she looked better doing it. She ran with an elegant gait that made it seem like she was floating over the sandy soil. Once birds were located, Ethel had an uncanny sense of how to trail them without bumping the covey. I don't think I ever saw her bump birds by pushing them too hard. When the iconic Pickens was asked by a business reporter when he first realized he was rich, the lifelong quail hunter's answer no doubt surprised his interviewer. "I knew I was rich," he said, "when I realized that I owned 35 bird dogs." Any good bird dog can smell quail, but the innate ability to work birds well comes from within the dog. It cannot be taught. It certainly can't be passed along by a guy with a whistle and no idea where the birds went in the first place. If Ethel was the best English pointer I ever saw, then Jack is certainly the best setter. Jack belongs to quail hunting guide John Cox, or vice versa. According to Cox, a horseback specialist who treats his horses like dogs, his dogs like children, and his hunters like barbarians, Jack was not a prodigy. "When Jack was a pup, he couldn't pass up a porcupine," recalled Cox, as our horses followed the muscular, rangy setter across the sand hills of the Oklahoma Panhandle. "I thought the dog was stupid, and he'd wind up blinded by porcupine quills. Then one day Jack had an epiphany. He pointed 5 coveys in a row. Just like that, he came across another porcupine. He thought about tackling that porcupine, but it's like a light came on in his head, and he suddenly knew what he was supposed to do. He left the porcupine and looked for more quail, and he's never tangled with another porcupine." That's Jack over there on the far hill, so far away that he's a white spot as he works back and forth into the wind. Cox lets the dog run that big because the graceful setter is a team player. Also, because arguing with Jack about where he should be hunting would be the canine equivalent of arguing string theory with Stephen Hawking. Jack slows his ground-gobbling pace and stops in a sort of tentative point, tail wagging, looking across the hill toward our horses. "What's he doing?" I ask, unaccustomed to seeing a tentative point from the champion bird finder. "Oh, he's telling us there's a covey down the ridge from him," said Cox. "He'll wait for us to get there, then he'll pin them down." We kick the horses into a lope and quickly close the distance to Jack, still wagging and looking over his shoulder. When we were within 50 yards of the dog, he started forward into the wind, moving cautiously for another 100 yards until he froze in a point that left no doubt the quail were right under his nose. On numerous occasions, I've watched Jack run with his various brace mates, and the result was always the same. The other dog was on Jack's team and occasionally pointed a covey. In other strings, Jack's partner might have been the MVP, most valuable pointer. But running on Jack's team is like swimming on Michael Phelps' team. There's no doubt who's the star of this show. Jack's running mate is like Tonto to the Lone Ranger, Chester to Matt Dillon, Scottie Pippen to Michael Jordan. Jack is so good, Cox sometimes wonders if his running mates are demoralized just to be on the ground with a dog they have no chance of beating. Here's another thing you can't help but wonder after seeing a dog like Jack or Ethel. Why would a scientist waste time cloning sheep? Sheep look identical and seem to reproduce just fine all on their own. If we're going to clone anything, for God's sake, people, let's clone these great bird dogs. At the very least, let's set up a loaner program so every quail hunter has a chance to hunt with a great dog. I once hunted with a true southern gentleman named Ben Parham. Ben is a builder in LaGrange, Georgia, and speaks with a soft southern drawl. He grew up hunting birds with his father during a time when wild quail were plentiful in rural Georgia. Ben recalled a wonderful story that his dad told about growing up in a small Georgia town where it seemed like everyone owned a good bird dog. There were plenty of quail, and the bird dogs of that era got enough work on wild birds that most of the dogs were at least competent. On Saturday mornings, Ben's father told him, a guy who didn't have a dog could drive down to the town square around 8 a.m. There would usually be a bird dog or two roaming the square. At that hour, it was clear that the dog's owner had to work or had some other kind of family business to take care of and wasn't hunting that day. So the dogs just drifted downtown, like migrant workers awaiting a day job. It was common practice just to open your car door and load up a likely-looking bird dog. You'd hunt the loner dog all day, then bring it back to the square and let it out when the hunt was over. It was also customary to stop and buy the dog a hamburger or some other juicy treat as payment for a job well done. Most bird dogs are like that. They'll hunt for anybody who will take them to a bird field. The most impressive points come when the dog is covering ground like a cheetah coursing a gazelle and suddenly turns downwind of a cubby. No Italian or German sports car can go from 30 miles an hour to a dead stop as quickly as a bird dog. They whip around in a contorted, mid-stride point, nose toward the birds, body pointed elsewhere. When a seasoned bird dog disappears into a plum thicket and doesn't come out on the other side, you'd better go looking for him. What makes a dog point birds when its predatory instinct must dictate that it chase the birds? What makes a bird hold tight to cover when threatened by what must seem like a different colored coyote? You may as well ask why planet Earth is a perfect distance from the sun and rotates on its axis in such a way that spring follows winter. It's too perfect to be random.
This is Travis Mears with Defender Outdoors, Clay Sports Ranch. Fort Worth's new premier shotgun range. Located on West Loop 820, we are minutes from anywhere in the west of Plex. Clay Sports Ranch offers two different 12-station sporting clay courses, archery, the largest 5-stand in DFW, and a spacious event pavilion with seating for over 200. Inside the pro shop, we offer a wide variety of hunting and competitive shotguns for sale and rent, along with all the gear and shells that you may need for your next outing. Open to the public or with a membership, a good time with friends, family, or colleagues is easy to find. Find all the details at defenderoutdoors.com, and we look forward to seeing you at the ranch.
When you serve up that whitetail deer to your friends and family, I promise you, they're going to think you're feeding them beef if you had that animal processed at Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing.
We know what to take away from the deer to make it the very best, and that meaning get rid of all the blood that's on it, all the fat that's on it, and it's hard to season raw meat, and that's what we're really, really good at. Our bacon-wrapped fillets are probably the greatest thing that's ever happened to a wild game piece of meat that's out there. And it doesn't matter what it is. You could serve it to anybody and they'll say, wow, that's a great fillet, but it's wild game. Because the way we season them, and then we cryovac them, vacuum seal them, and then let them sit, and then we put them in the freezer. So the spices get to work on the meat for a little bit. If you'll cook them just like a regular fillet, you know, like medium rare or rare, it's perfect. I mean, you can't tell the difference.
CCR, wildgameprocessing.com. Here at Marksman Firearms, we're as fired up about hunting season as you are. We've got everything you need, from guns and ammo to accessories and specialized gear. Visit any of our Marksman stores in Granbury, Mansfield, Killeen, or Wichita Falls. And for more info, go to MarksmanFirearms.com. MarksmanFirearms.com. Make your mark at Marksman, Granbury, Mansfield, Killeen, or Wichita Falls. Some things just can't be improved upon. Take a traditional South Dakota pheasant hunt, for example. A brisk morning with only time, a trusted dog, and a field full of wild pheasants ahead of you. As step by step you trace the finest hunting heritage known to man, the history is thick in the fresh, clean air as you raise your gun and claim your part of this legendary South Dakota paradise. Now, throw in good friends and family in the lakeside cabins with a sprawling front porch, private bed and bathrooms, high-def TV in each room to catch the game, the award-winning restaurant and bar just steps away from your cabin, and a string of dogs to help you hunt the 35,000 acres that Spring Creek Resort South Dakota has acquired with you in mind. Maybe some things can be improved upon. Come see what we have for you at Spring Creek Resort, just north of Pierre, South Dakota. SpringCreekSD.com. From the deck of your private cabin overlooking the confluence of the famous White and Norfolk Rivers at Norfolk Resort Trout Dock, you can see crystal clear running waters that hold one of the world's greatest populations of rainbow and brown trout. In fact, this is the home of world record trout. You might be distracted, though, by the beautiful rolling Ozark Mountains that hold you during your stay. Just up the road a few miles is incredible bass fishing for largemouth, smallmouth, and spots. You'll find the best guides in the business at Norfolk Resort, and your boat is just a short walk from your cabin. Your guide will find a gravel shoal perfect for preparing a hot shore lunch with fresh-caught trout and all the trimmings. You'll think about a nap after lunch, but there's more fish to catch and river to explore before retiring to your fully furnished riverside hideaway. Sound good? Of course it does. Norfolk Resort Trout Dock in Norfolk, Arkansas. NorfolkResort.com.
Hop in the truck. Half the fun is just getting there. Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
While you enjoy a day at the range, we stand on Capitol Hill and firmly say no to those who would rip that right and that gun from you. We are the DSC, and we're at biggame.org.
Phone number here in the old camp house, 1-877-820-BBKO. 1-877-820-2256. The website, bbkoradio.com. And, of course, you can hear the podcast, well, any place that carries popular podcasts. You'll find Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. My special guest on the show today truly is a legend. We visited a little bit earlier. We're going to wrap it up now with Roland Martin from his home down in his beloved Florida. I want to talk to you a little bit, Roland, about those early BASS tournaments. They didn't pay just a whole lot of money, and you were really smart, did a really good job of parlaying some fishing success into a television career and a fishing career outside of just catching fish in a tournament.
Well, yeah, but, you know, still it was pretty good because I was doing a lot of guide work, and so those $5,000 or $10,000 you might win in a big tournament was, you know, in those monies, in 1970 dollars, it was, you know, worth five or six times more than that, you know. It was worth like $50,000 now, you know. And so it was enough to really keep me going. And another thing that it did, I lost my parents about the same time, just a few years before, and they left me some insurance money, like $10,000. And then I won a couple tournaments, about $10,000. So I took all this money, and I had $30,000 or $40,000. I'd worked down in Brazil for a year, and I had another $10,000 or $12,000 saved for that. So anyway, I had like $50,000, and this is early 70s. And I'm saying, God, I'm single, you know, I'm going to get in the television business. Well, it all but killed me. It wiped me out all the first 3 years. I bought cameras and I bought my money, and I just lost money hand over fist. I just really had a hard time. I almost quit. I said, I'm going to have to go back to school teaching, because I'd been an Army officer and a school teacher for a while. And so I said, I'm going to have to do something besides fish, because this isn't working out, you know. And so I finally made it work. I finally won another tournament. I finally got ahead on the television deal a little bit, you know. So, boy, it was a close call. It was just like, man, I didn't think I was going to make it. You know.
Man, I'm glad you did, and the bass fishing world is glad that you did, too. We have enjoyed your career throughout the years, for sure.
The funny thing about my career is, like, in the past tense, but in the present tense, I'm actually working harder now than I did 10 years ago. Because I've taken on the YouTube challenge. I'm into YouTubing. I YouTube three times a week. I work harder now, and I'm 79 years old. I'm working today. I work tomorrow. I work every day on YouTube. I just work my butt off doing YouTube stuff. It's fun. It's my goal is 100,000 subscribers by Christmas. I'm not going to get there. I'm only about 70,000 now. But at least I have goals. And that's the thing. Not many octogenarians like myself have goals, young goals like this, like trying to get ahead on the YouTube market and having more 15-year-olds watching how I fish, you know.
Well, we're going to urge everyone to go subscribe to the Roland Martin YouTube channel today, for sure.
But it's fun. I really enjoy, though, Billy. I think it's my calling, and I feel kind of responsible for passing on this information. You know, I got a wealth of it, you know, for 50 years, 60 years of fishing. And it's easy to do. I can sit down and say, hey, folks, let me tell you how to fish a plastic worm. And I tell them, boom, it's just like falling off a log. And
exactly.
Stuff and I get good reviews from it, you know, and that's kind of what I'm doing.
And I guess if we want to find you, it's just Roland Martin, a channel on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
Very good. Hey, I want to talk to you about a place that's near and dear to your heart, and that is Lake Okeechobee, which has received a lot of what I think is undue bad press recently. The lake's not in great shape. We know that. But some reports out there have people turning away and going a different direction. They say the lake is toxic. And I thought, I need to get to the bottom of this. And I know a guy that will know, and it's Roland Martin.
Okay.
Let's talk about Okeechobee. Tell me the story.
Yeah. Well, you know, starting about, you know, 50 years ago, I started fishing Okeechobee. And it had its ups and its downs then, because it had low water situations where the fishing was kind of crummy. It had high water situations where it was too high, it was kind of crummy. It had in-between water conditions that where the fish grew real well. It had conditions where the weeds were really good and they didn't bother a lot of spray. And so they were a lot of shiners in the lake, a lot of bass in the lake. So all these cycles have occurred. And we're going through a cycle. You know, this is definitely a cycle. We had some low water and then we had some high water. And then weeds grew real well and now they're kind of dying off. And one of the problems, and kind of a problem, it's maybe not, it's short-lived, is the state thinks that they ought to kill all the hydrilla. They ought to kill all the hyacinths. But what they don't realize, and that maybe has some merit, what they don't realize is that they're irresponsible in the way they're doing it, and the collateral damage from them going out and killing, say there's a whole big acre of hyacinths, they go spray, but in the meantime, in the collateral damage, they kill everything else that's there. And so they're not taking into account the sensitive nature of and the importance of weeds in general. So we need weeds. We need a certain kind of bad weeds, but until we can get the people more responsible in the weed control end of it, we're going to have some problems because they're wiping out a lot of habitat. And so that's the biggest issue that I see on the lake right now. It's a political issue, and it's a fact that there's millions and millions and millions of dollars coming through the Corps of Engineers going into weed control, and that's maybe warranted. Yeah, there's weed control that's necessary. But in the way they do it, the collateral damage is such that it's really hurting the lake. So there's some issues, you know. But yet, right now, the water's come up some. We've had a pretty good wet season for this summer. It's up to almost 13.5 feet, which is perfect conditions. The fish are really kind of coming in offshore because there are a lot of the fish would be shad feeders out in the middle where you wouldn't see them. But now they're coming in good, and all the guides are all catching fairly good limits. There's, let's see, 20-something, 23 pounds one last week. And, you know, so they're starting to get some decent bags again. I'm looking for possibly even a couple double-digit fish. I haven't caught a double-digit fish in the lake in 2 years, but that was mainly a shiner deal. The shiner guys are doing pretty good. And, in fact, the lure guys are doing good. So there are a lot of medium-sized fish right now. The real big trophies seem to be a little bit hard to find. But it's a cycle, and it's a political problem with the weed control. All that can be reversed, and all that can be done. You know, fishing is a renewable resource. You know, that's the beautiful thing about it.
Well, and it is. And boy, you mentioned Okeechobee to a brand new bass angler or a seasoned bass angler. And yes, that's sure. On the bucket list. They want to go there. Right. And you know, people saying the lake is toxic. It's not toxic. All this stuff coming out.
Let me tell you about the toxicities. What they're defining, the bad press is going to pick this up. They're calling over nutrification. They're calling a lot of phosphates and nitrates toxic. And that's not really the right term. When you have a lot of phosphates and nitrates, it's nutrient. It's over-nutrient, and it grows a lot of algae and stuff. But that doesn't mean it's toxic.
Gotcha. So the bottom line is, if you're planning a winter trip to Okeechobee, don't cancel that thing. Go ahead
trip.
You're going to catch great fish.
Oh, you're going to catch a lot of fish. Until the big spawn starts, and that's going to be probably December. And then January, I can guarantee you, January and February and March are going to be very, very good fishing. There are going to be a lot of bass over 5 pounds come in. And there's some years that are just better than others. This is going to be a decent year. I don't think it's going to be as good as it was in, say, 1988 happened to be like the best ever, and all sorts of 10-pounders are coming in. No, it may not be that year. It might cycle for 2 or 3 years before that happens again. But, you know, it'll be decent fishing. Yeah, absolutely.
Roland Martin, what a pleasure to talk to you, and we're so happy to see that you're still going strong, and we want to urge everyone to visit and join the Roland Martin page on YouTube, and man, like you said, there's a wealth of information there. It's a treasure, a free treasure at your fingertips, guys. You got to check it out. Roland, thank you so very much.
Well, thank you, Billy. I appreciate it.
Bass fishing legend, Roland Martin. I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the time we've had together. Thank you for joining me in the camp house. Hope you'll do it again next time around. Till then, may God bless you and your bunch.